let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you're always there for us in the good times and in the bad times, Lord. You know what we're going through, but Lord, you have claimed the victory. You have claimed the victory, Lord. And so, Holy Spirit, we just pray that you'll come and open our hearts and our minds as we hear your word, and may that resonate and may that sit in our spirits, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Quante and I'm part of the preaching team here. If you're a visitor here today, welcome. And I hope you feel warmly part of our church here today. And so hopefully, we are working our way through Romans. And today, hopefully, we're up to chapter 12. Hey, Paul?
Yes, we are.
Good, because it would be embarrassing if we're not. So today we're going to be looking at chapter 12, but we're going to be starting from verse 3, and we're going to be only going as far as 8. There's obviously lots to this chapter, and you're going to have to do a lot more reading and studying in your own time, unfortunately. But so I'm going to be reading from the NIV. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Most of you will know that we have North Pororua Centre associated and operate out of this building. We've established we have subsidised counselling and free social work services, and North Pororua Care Trust is the governing body. You might be aware of the fundraisers that we have through the course of the year, and hopefully you've been able to make some of those. And the trust has a number of board members, which most of us are from this church, and I have the privilege of being on that board. The Care Centre team and the board are amazing in the time and energy that has been used to provide this ministry into the community. We're all Christians, and we're all from many different churches. Earlier on this year, we had a vision day with the Care Centre and the board together, and we were working out the direction in which God was wanting us to lead us into. And one of the things that came out of that day was actually the body of Christ. So the Care Centre team does rightly have a community focus, and it is mission. But at the same time, that we are all Christians in that Care Centre, and that's our point of difference. The counsellors are going to use their professional training. They're going to use their cognitive behavioural therapy, their psychodynamic counselling skills. But also, the Care Centre has the opportunity to use the really heavy-duty stuff, the prayer, the scripture. Obviously, it requires that the person is going to have to consent to some of that as well. But if the case allows and the Holy Spirit is used, who is the ultimate counsellor? The power of God is able to be used here. And the dimensions that can be healed are not just in the spirit, but in the spirit, body, and in mind as well. And the whole transformation can occur. Our social worker, Frances, as well, is a Christian, and she provides a lot of support for people, identifying needs, assisting with access to resources, and so on. And the list goes on, yeah? And the whole team works from a Christian point of view. I'm going to come back to that in a second. So the first point I want to raise is we are all the body of Christ. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Cool. So in 1 Corinthians 12, 24 to 26, "But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So we are all the body of Christ. We're all unique in our experiences. We are in our function within the body, and no two experiences of life are exactly the same. So when the body of Christ has parts that are suffering and hurting, it really does affect the rest of the body. And this is where I believe that the care center can help and really shine. They can be that healing. It can be the healing of the individuals. And that's not going to necessarily happen quickly, but it can happen over time. Where the body of Christ can be so much more effective when it's all the individual parts are healed. When the body is healed and is set free from those chains that can bind us, we can be so much more effective. When we really look at ourselves, when we really, really look at ourselves and ask Jesus to change us, to make us more like him, in his ways and in his heart, with his heart, we can be so much more effective. This is a healing process, and it will take time. You know, we may be carrying hurt with us that has happened from years and years ago. And it's not an easy road, and it will take time. You know, as the saying goes, it doesn't happen overnight necessarily, but it will happen. So there is in Corinthians a sense that all the parts should be concerned for one another to help build each other up and not to tear each other down. We are to do our best to help each other in times of in hardship and in trouble. But also on the other side of that, when there's celebration, we're to do that together as well. We are to celebrate together and rejoice and celebrate those successes. So if we come back to verse 3, this is the time when the Apostle Paul is trying to establish some sort of unity in amongst the early believers, where the Jews believed that they were the only chosen people and that the Gentiles were second class. But as Jeremy spoke about a couple of weeks ago, the Apostle Paul was trying to ensure that the people knew that the salvation was for everyone, whether it was a Jew or whether it was a Gentile. And that was God's plan. There was division and a sense that the Jews thought that they were more worthy and entitled to salvation rather than everybody else. The Apostle Paul saying that we shouldn't be thinking better of ourselves or more deserving of ourselves than someone else. Do we still think this happens today? Do we? Yeah, of course. Yep. You know, some people who are maybe brought up in Christian families, and this is not a bad thing, obviously, but they've gone and done all the right things, gone to church and all those sort of things. But then we can look down on the person who's addicted to drugs or is an alcoholic, who's also looking for just the same thing, for salvation. Jesus came to save the lost. He came for the broken, and he came for the hurting. We've all fallen short of that glory of God, and we don't always measure up. But the church, isn't it so amazing? Is it not so amazing that we serve a God who will leave that 99, the 99 sheep, just to save the one? That through Jesus, we can meet that golden standard and be pure and holy in God's sight without sin. So we're all part of the body of Christ. We're all different and we all do things a little bit differently. So one way to think about it, this is that we're all a little bit like individual cells in the body of Christ. And so when we all come together, we might form a finger. And that finger might be this church. When the finger joins onto the hand, that's a bit like our church connecting with other churches in this Porirua area. And when the hand connects to the arm, it's like all the churches in Porirua now connect with the national body. And when the arm connects to the rest of the body, it's connected into the full body of Christ. And that's a bit like now all the churches in New Zealand connecting in internationally. So when we think of the gifts that God has given out to us, I've got a few gifts to hand out today. So I'm going to hand out some gifts. This is not Oprah Winfrey, so there's no large screen TVs under your chairs. Would you like one, Rob?
Thank you.
How about you, Jeremy? And what about Tim? And how about Jeremy? So hang on to your gifts for a second. So if I was to give you those gifts, do you all want to see, yell out what gifts you've got? What have you got there, Jeremy? A type of what? Hopefully I put the right thing in. Oh, yep, great, fuel, butter, yep, margarine. Yes, yep, that's all good, good on toast. What have you got, Tim?
Milk.
Milk, excellent. Yes, good when you're a bit thirsty, want a cup of tea. Oh, and Rob, what do you got?
Self-raising flour.
Self-raising flour, awesome, yep, great. And what's Jeremy got? What did he get? Oh, he's sweet, so he gets the icing sugar. Fantastic, fantastic, good. These objects all on their own aren't particularly good, are they? Can they do much on their own? No? Who really wants to sit down and eat a tub of flour? Rob, you want to sit down and eat a tub of flour? No. No. But what if you were all to bring your gifts that I've given you? What if you were to all bring them up onto the stage and just pop them just down here? What if we were to bring all those gifts together? And if I was to mix them all together in the right amounts and in the right quantities, put them into the oven correctly at the right temperature, what we might end up with?
Pancakes.
Pancakes. Oh, it's got to be a scone, isn't it? All the ladies who are here. Yeah, I can't eat this one, I guess. So this is only a little one. Nicely baked by Rebecca this morning. So, yep, if we put them all together on their own, they're not so good. But when you put them all together in the right way, in the right quantities, all those gifts become a yummy scone. So when you bake scones, please think of the body of Christ. Or when you're baking a cake, think of us all as individual gifts and pieces together. This is just like the church. We've all got different talents and gifts, and Maud's got a few more probably than some of us. And on our own, we can't do everything. We can't become a scone on our own. If we are flour, if our gift is flour, we cannot become a scone on our own. You know? God is the baker. He knows how to put them all together in the right amounts. If you put them in the wrong ways, round in the wrong quantities, it's not going to turn out right. It's not going to come out as it's supposed to be, as it was designed to be. That's absolutely fine to be flour, and it's absolutely fine to be milk, because that's what you were made for. That's the gift. That's what you have. So, this is talking about not being justified for other people's gifts. Because, you know, if we have the gift of flour, and we say we want to be, well, I really want a gift of milk. And you bring that along, and then what does it become? It doesn't become anything, does it? Because we end up with milk, on icing sugar, on butter. And that's, yeah, not good to eat. We need all of those separate gifts that come together. So the Apostle Paul describes the talents. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And this brings me to my next point. Use your talents for the kingdoms of God. And absolutely right in what we've talked about today, there are, in what Paul said, there are absolute seasons for our gifts and our talents. Absolutely. And obviously Paul, in terms of the apostle, Paul has not listed all those available gifts that we have. And in this time, there's more division and more people thinking highly of themselves. So whatever your talent is here, whatever it may be, use it for God. Maybe you have a pastoral heart, so you can give people a phone call and see how they're doing. Maybe you're a prayer warrior. Maybe you're a brilliant business person and you can make a whole lot of money. Whatever your gift, whatever your talent is, just use it for God. There may be some people sitting here today going, I don't know what my gift or what my talent might be. Talk to people that you trust. Find out what that is. Talk to the pastors. Talk to the elders, the leadership team. Find somebody that you trust to help you find out what that might be. Has anybody seen, you know, somebody who's going to be really honest? Because have anybody seen the American Idol or the British Has Got Talent and all that sort of stuff? Where you get somebody get onto the stage and they sing their heart out, only to be told by the judges that you're terrible. So what's happened? You know, they genuinely believe that they were really good. And maybe they're pretty good, but just, you know, not good enough. And people may have been trying to spare their feelings. Maybe the family was trying to say, you know, yeah, you're good, trying to give encouragement at the same side, though. And the flip side of that, though, is that they weren't aware of the truth. So you need to find those people who are going to be truthful and tell you sort of where your giftings are. But sometimes, you know, God does push us out of our comfort zones. He says, nah, I want you to do this. And that's way out of our normal scope in which we feel comfortable with. But God will provide that support for you. And he will lead you if we just keep trusting in him and listening for his voice and in his direction. Do it for the right reasons, my next point. At the same time, whatever you do, whatever you feel you're led to do, do it with humility. Do it for the right reasons. Do it with a servant heart. Am I doing this because I want to get praise or for people to say how wonderful I am? Is it about me? Is it about my status in society? Or is it about my status in the church? Is it about how I want others to look up to you maybe? Praise is not a bad thing. Yeah? In fact, it's a good thing. When a person does a good job, it's absolutely fine to congratulate them. When a child does well at school or sports, it's great. You know, congratulate them, absolutely. If someone really overcomes a struggle in life, congratulate them. Say, well done, you did it. The key difference is the motive behind it. What is your heart and mind wanting here? Is it glory for you or is it glory for God? Are you doing it for God or are you doing it for yourself? In Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus performs the miracle of multiplying the 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed the 5,000 plus people, he didn't need that small fish and small loaves of bread to perform this miracle. He could have materialized things that are thinner. He could have changed the rock that was right there into loaves of bread. He could have let it rain KFC and creme brulees. He could have done anything, you know? What was key here is he wanted to see what was amongst all of the people. What did the people have? What were they having there? You know, to perform this miracle, he wanted to see what did the people have. The Bible never says this, but just imagine if the disciples went out and they said, oh, what do you have? Do you have anything there, any food there? And somebody goes, oh, I've got this loaf of bread. It's not going to feed all these people, a loaf of bread. I'm just going to hang on to it, otherwise I'm going to starve and have nothing to eat either. So I'll just hold on to my loaf of bread and I'll eat it and save it a little bit later and nibble when nobody's watching. But you know what? There's no opportunity here for God to work. There's no opportunity here for God to multiply what little you seem or may seem that you have. Whatever your gift or talent is, remember, in Jesus' hand, it can become so much more. It can be extended way beyond anything that is humanly or logical. All he asks is that we bring that gift and we bring that talent and we say, here, I'm going to offer it. Do what you want with it. God doesn't have to use us to grow his kingdom. He doesn't. But he wants to. He wants us to be part of it. He chooses us to be part of it. So we're going to go to Genesis 2:7. It says, then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. An interesting fact here is that the Hebrew for man sounds like, and as they say, it may be related to the Hebrew word for ground, which is adama. Also sounds a bit like Adam. So, if we think of us all today as clay pots, maybe you're a Greek pot. Maybe you're a South African clay pot or a Chinese clay pot. The interesting thing about the Chinese clay pots, when you look on them on the internet, they're all filled with food. All the Chinese clay pots are filled with food. I don't figure that. But they're all filled with food. But today, we're going to be water pots. And the aim of the water clay pot here is to hold water. Hold water, isn't it? So we want to hold water. So we want to be filled to the maximum. We want to be filled to the rim. That's the goal of the water pot. It's to hold as much water as we can. But what, church? What if we're a broken pot? What if we're a broken vessel? What then? What if people have caused you so much hurt and so much pain, and that there's so many broken pieces? Maybe those pieces are small, but maybe those pieces are big. What happens when water tries to fill any of these pots? It leaks out, absolutely. It leaks out. The water leaks out before it's reached its full potential, where it should be, filled to the top. It depends on where that leak is. If that leak is on the bottom of that pot, that water is just going to come straight out of the bottom, ongoing, constantly. If the leak is halfway up the pot, then you're going to be filled halfway up with water, and then that water is just going to come pouring out again. But you know what? Thankfully, Jesus is the one who can heal and mend that brokenness. He can put those pieces back together again. He can make us whole again. He can make us so that we can reach that full potential, holding all of that water. Those broken pieces may take a while to be found and to put back together again. And it's not going to be easy. And it might hurt. But God can make us into new vessels again and allow us to fulfill that purpose that we are created for. In my first year at university down in Otago, just before the exams at the end of the year, I was having a study break and rushing across the road. Back then we had to do things, go to a travel agent to buy a ticket, so I wanted to fly home, back up to Morrisville, to Hamilton area. And as I crossed the street, I got hit by a car. It clipped me. Luckily, I wasn't too damaged. And what it did is clip my ankle. And so my ankle was really, really sore. And I was on crutches for a while. And I lived up in Carrington Hall, so it's really up a really steep hill for those people that know Dunedin. And to walk up there on crutches, there's, I think about 50 or 60, 70, 80 steps, whatever. It feels like 80 anyway, steps to get up to the Hall of Residence. Once my swelling had gone down in my ankle and the damage had been subsided a little bit, we would go off and sort of get physiotherapy, get that sort of stuff, and try to strengthen that a little bit. Now, I used to play a bit of social basketball as well at university, and sometimes when I jumped up or whatever and I would land slightly funny, and that would cause my ankle to, remind me that my ankle was still a bit sore and a bit damaged, and and that there was some damage there potentially. But if we are broken and hurt, just like my ankle was, it can cause the rest of the body to struggle. And it might mean that we can't get along or do something that we would like to as quickly. I would want a cup of coffee, but I'd have to hobble across there to the sink to make that cup of coffee. My hands were fine to pour the cup of water into the cup. My mind was fine to know the process to make the cup of coffee, but I struggled a bit to get there. And in the same way, when we think of the body of Christ, we need to be working to the best of our ability. We need to be made whole and healed so that we can work together just as God has intended. Now, don't get me wrong. This does not mean that we need to be perfect. This does not mean that we need to have all our lives in order. It means quite the opposite. It means we can come with our brokenness. We can come with our pain. And Jesus can heal it and make you whole. Jesus wants us to be whole so that we can function properly as the body of Christ and as Jesus had intended us to be. Jesus came to this earth so that we could be saved and have life, and life till its fullest. We are and we should be the unified body of Christ. That does not mean we have to always agree on everything. It does not mean we have to always like the same things. It does not mean we have to dress the same either. But what it does mean is that we should be standing together against the enemy and united as one. We should be united to share the good news and pointing people towards the cross. There's a divide and conquer strategy, also known as the divide and rule strategy. It's often applied to the areas of politics and sociology. In this strategy, one power breaks another power into smaller, more manageable pieces, then takes control of those pieces one by one. I'm sure you've watched maybe Our World or something like that. Have you ever seen these African nature programs where the lion pride is hunting a herd of wildebeest? They don't often attack head on. They don't often attack the herd of wildebeest head on because they're just going to get trampled by the wildebeest. What do? They attack those that are separated from the herd, where they are alone and by themselves. We must be unified. As with the lions, it is true here, where the enemy will seek to divide us into smaller groups or as individuals, where he has a much better chance of damaging us. He wants the people of the church to be spreading hurtful rumors. He wants us to be angry with each other. He wants us to bring our fears, our past hurts, and our resentments. He wants us to be proud, and he wants us to be arrogant. He wants the church to divide itself, to fight amongst us constantly, to be constantly offended at each other, and to hurt each other with our words. Do we speak the truth in love, or do we speak the truth in anger? How do we speak to our spouses? With love or with an angry heart? With the goal of hurting them? What about our parents or our kids? Do we build them up or do we tear them down? The enemy works to destroy us, but don't forget, it's not just the enemy. It's absolutely us as well. We have a huge role and a huge responsibility in the choices that we make and the choices that we choose to respond to and how we respond. Thankfully, we have this Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit to protect our hearts and our minds, protect our families, protect the church, protect our country, and ensure that the body of Christ is able to be effective and unified. We may be really, really hurt, or you may feel really betrayed by someone. You know what? It's that seeking that reconciliation and forgiveness. That's what we should do. And the other person may not want to have reconciliation, or they may not want to forgive, but you know what? That's on them. They may not even know that we are offended as well. In the end, we can't always control what hurt is inflicted on us, what pain or suffering we will go through. And there's a lot of people here that are in pain and suffering. But do you know what we can control? We can control how we choose to respond. We can control how we choose to respond. And in some circumstances, that's the only thing we can control. This is Eva Moses Kaur. Anybody heard of her? Yep, great. She was a Romanian-born survivor of the Holocaust. Her twin Miriam were subjected to human experiments as children in Auschwitz concentration camp. Her parents and two older sisters were killed in gas chambers. Eva and Miriam are the only survivors. Eva Kaur founded the organization CANDLES, which stands for Children of Auschwitz Nazi Deadly Lab Experiments Survivors, in 1984. And through this she located another 122 survivors. In 1984, CORE then found the Candles Holocaust Museum, an education center to educate the public about eugenics, the Holocaust, and you know what? The power of forgiveness. After meeting Hans Münch, one of the people who carried out the experiments on her, Eva received international attention when she publicly forgave the Nazis for all that had been done to her. The story was later turned into a documentary called Forgiving Dr. Mengele. From 1985, she received 30 awards. She received 2 honorary doctorates. Now, she received this one, which was the Forgiveness Hero Award from the Worldwide Forgiveness Alliance. Never knew they existed. She also received the Anne Frank Change the World Award. She received the Sachem Award, which is the highest award in the state of Indiana. Now, despite having all of these horrific things happen to her in the concentration camp, the murder of her family and friends, what's amazing here is she still chose to forgive. She could have chosen to seek revenge, to be consumed by hatred of the Germans and of Nazis, but she didn't. She chose to forgive. That's actually a picture of her pointing to herself, and she's in the front, 69 years ago, in the concentration camp. This brings me to the point. The choice is yours. We can choose to respond with more anger or with more hurtful words, or we can choose to forgive. Choosing to forgive means we don't have to hold on to that hurt and pain anymore, and we can let it go. I will not sing the Frozen song, in case anybody's worried. We can only choose how we respond, and we can only change ourselves. We cannot change the other person. That's between God and the other person. What we can really do is just have a look at ourselves. Look into our own hearts and our own minds and attitudes. What do I need to change to be closer to God? What do I need to change to be more like Jesus in the way that he works and his heart? What do I need to be a better husband, wife, child, parent, or grandparent? We're all human and we all make mistakes. And that's why we need Jesus. And that's why we all need forgiveness. I want to finish with a story. So there was once this man, and he was looking for happiness. You know, he had a lot of gifts and he had a lot of talents. And one of those was in business. He was very rich and he made a lot of money. But you know, this man was not happy. So he thought to himself, how am I going to make myself happy? So he bought himself a boat and he sailed all around the Pacific looking for happiness. And that was pretty fun for a while. But then he decided he would come back to New Zealand again, come back to Wellington. And he says, well, what else is going to make me happy? You know, that the boat was all right. The traveling was fine all around the world, well, the Pacific at the stage. And he decided that he would buy himself a house. So he bought himself a new house, maybe as an investment property, I don't know. He's pretty business savvy, so yeah, somewhere nice. But he was still not happy. So this man then decided that, you know what, I'm going to go further afar. That's going to make me even more happier. I'm going to buy myself a private jet. Anybody know where to buy a private jet these days? Trade me? No. Probably have to ask Donald Trump, eh? He knows. He's got one. So he buys himself a private jet. And with this jet, he travels all around, enjoying all the things of this world has to offer, all the food, all the sights, all those fun things out there. And he comes back to New Zealand again, he comes back to Whitby, and he comes back to Wellington, and he goes, you know what, I'm still not happy. And one day he's driving past, and he sees this church with a pointy top. A bit like this church, huh? And he goes past and he sees these people and he goes, you know what? Why are these people so happy outside this church building on a Sunday on the 15th of November? Why are they so happy? I don't understand. So he decides to go up to them and he says, why are you guys so happy? I don't get it. You know, what makes you so happy? I've got all these things and you haven't. And he says to them, and the person, some people at the front there say, you know what you need? You don't need all that extra stuff. You don't need that car. You don't need the flash car. You don't need the extra house. You don't need the private jet and the aeroplane. You don't need all of those things. Those things are just all extras. So let's get rid of those things, you know, in some ways. What do you need? The people open up to them. And they say, do you know what you need? That's what you need. You need Jesus. You need the cross. But the man sort of, you know, you don't need all these extra little bits and pieces, all these things here, all the houses, the extra cars, all of those things. What are those things? Those things are all of this earth. Those things are things that just fade away and disappear eventually. The aeroplane's not going to be there eternally. The houses, who knows, maybe it's going to get flooded, maybe there's an earthquake. You know, there could be anything that can happen to these things. And these things are just all of this world. So just bear with me a little bit here. But these are all the things that when we have and focus our gifts and our talents on, when we focus on that eternal, and we're not looking at just the things of this earth, all these bits and pieces, where do they all lead to? Anybody want to take a guess? Where do they all lead us to? Now, these are all these little bits and pieces that I've just ripped off. Death, doesn't it? When we focus only on the things of this earth, it only leads us one place, only without the cross that leads us to death. What does John 14:6 say? Somebody want to look that up for me? Somebody want to read out John 14:6? Thank you. What does Jesus do? He turns death into life. Can I get an amen on that? He turns death into life. We need to focus our gifts and our talents on the eternal work. We need to focus on Jesus. If I can have the music team up, awesome. If there's things that I've spoken about today, you know, if you want prayer, please come up absolutely at the end and pray. I'm going to close in prayer, actually. Is that right, Jimmy? So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come with all our troubles, Lord, that you are there for us and that we can come no matter what state we're in, no matter where we're at, how broken we may be, Lord, and that you can make us whole again, Lord God, and that we just pray, Lord, that we will just bring whatever talents and gifts we have and that you will just use them and multiply them. And Jesus' name we pray. Amen.